You're listening to episode 9 of the College of Mythic Cartography podcast with your host, me, Willem Larson. In this episode, I'm going to do a short recap of story jamming as I've written about on my blog, and also talk about how much farther I've gone with it. Story jamming, as I've mentioned before, is basically like jamming as a band, as musicians, except with story. It's about yes and... writing the energy of the moment, about building on what's come before. It's about a communal art, participatory art, and also about telling stories about things that matter most to us right now, rather than rehashing old stories that aren't as relevant or consuming the stories of this culture in a really passive capacity and reaping the same benefits of that, which are disconnection and disengagement, and every once in a while a really fulfilling experience if we're lucky. I coined the word story jamming because I realized that something special was happening in these new role-playing games that I was playing that wasn't captured by the phrase role-playing. Certainly, other fans of role-playing games, often when I bring up story jam games and story games, often they'll say that's not a role-playing game. And I've come to realize that as essentially they're correct, that story jamming is a different experience than what they're going for. And oftentimes role players are going for that online World of Warcraft, you know, gigantic, you know, you play some person who has a sword and is going around killing things and stealing their stuff and getting more and more powerful. That to many people is a role-playing game. That's definitely not what... what these new games do. The story jamming is an attempt to refer to the experience of being jamming musically, where it's listen and response skills, sensitivity, being in the present moment, building on what your fellow players are giving you, and even cooler, whatever you're making together, your jam session is in that moment only. When you're done, it's an experience. It's not been recorded. It's not for an audience. It's for you, and you take it with you. And what I find after story jams is that people who I've jammed with will bring up those old stories that we were in together, and it feels like... I mean, it feels like going through a war or a crisis or an amazing road trip together, and we never left our backyards or our living rooms. So story jamming refers directly to that experience of jamming. Also, it's kind of cool in that I know that there's a whole jam band culture out there where people will follow bands from venue to venue. Because every time they jam, it's something fresh and new, and the people are who they come for, and the culture of it, and the experience of understanding something and loving something with other people who totally get it is absolutely addictive. Now, here's the funny thing. When I was first rediscovered role-playing games, this new subculture of role-playing games that I call story games, I do story jams from, I discovered them through my friend Jason Gadeski, who's actually working on an animist story game a game that can reproduce the experience of indigenous peoples' relationship to non-humans and to the land base and to you know, that global paradigm that that came before organized religion, and that had a million different flavors. So I started looking into it and discovering all these cool, independently published, creator-owned games that are tiny little games, each about like almost like one subject here and there. One, like the game Steelaway Jordan, is all about being a slave in the South. And a certain era, and that might sound depressing to some people, and it doesn't play that way at all. It plays ecstatically, because anytime you play somebody with hopes and dreams and who's striving, boy, the story takes off. There's other games like In a Wicked Age, which is takes place at the dawn of civilization and often features the issues of tribal peoples and the civilized peoples clashing, or the new civilized religions pursuing their agendas. There's other games where, like A Thousand and One Nights, where you pretend to be court people at the Sultan's court, and you're each telling stories to stay alive, just like Scheherazade in the 1001 Arabian Nights story. And then it goes on and on and on. There's lots and lots of cool, cool story games out there. And each one can give a little different experience. Some are about horror. Some are about creativity. Some are about what they call blood opera, where it all hits the fan right off the ground. Some are about richness of the setting. But what surprises me, that even though I may have my favorite genres, as you may or may not have guessed, I'm a huge Tolkien and Lord of the Rings fan, and I'm not much of a science fiction fan, but I find that if the story game is good, and the people I'm playing with are willing to really give it a try, it works. And rarely are any of these works of love, these independently made story games, not good. And, you know, sometimes they have little things that need to be tweaked, and they're in their first or second edition, and there's always improvements to make. But it's amazing how much stories just come together out of them. One of my favorites is Polaris, and that's all about negotiating with your demon over your own fate, and it's amazing what comes out of that, and how the use of ritual phrases in it really make you feel like you're experiencing a whole new cultural movement. So what's really cool about these story games too is that they're really spoken tradition. Like I said, jams aren't recorded. Jams don't stick around. You know, rarely does anybody videotape or write down what happens in these sessions. These jam sessions are beings of the moment, but that also makes it difficult to communicate the experience of it. And what I was finding, that I was catching the bug to do these story games, but I was having a hard time explaining it to anybody or cluing them into what it would feel like or how it would work. Some of my new jam band members were so interested in stories, but they were nervous about making a good story. And part of the story jam is you just go for it. You just see what happens. Nervousness is not part of the equation, because you're listening and responding, and that's, you just go for it, you know? And then maybe if you were jamming with like someone like Miles Davis, you know, you might be nervous for the first little bit, but sooner or later, in order to keep up, you have to drop that. And for some reason that just wasn't happening. And so I took, a couple of my friends who are both posters on rewild.info, both members there. I took them to a story game gathering called Go Play Northwest in Seattle. That was at the end of May. And lo and behold, they caught the bug almost instantly. And it really made me realize that this is culture. This is how culture is transmitted, not through books, not through, videotaped things, not through intermediaries, whether electronic or paper, but by being right there in the flesh and experiencing something with another human being. All the people at Go Play Northwest that I played with and that my friends played with were so supportive and so engaged and creative and played to the hilt that we all couldn't help but be immersed in this culture of storytelling. It was great. It was great. And what was even more fascinating was that some of the people there did like their competitive war games and did like their board games, and neither of which I'm interested in at all. But that didn't stop them from being able to play these rich, more what I would call adult focused in terms of, more relationship oriented, more poignancy of the story arc oriented games. They were great at them, so that made me really happy. And this weekend, for me, I don't know, certainly you'll be listening to this later and afterwards, but this weekend I'm hosting a story game gathering at the Trackers Northwest Scout Pit. That it's going to last 11 hours from noon to 11 p.m., and we'll be doing it every month, assuming this one goes well. And it's a chance to immerse in that culture of storytelling and story jamming. And I just feel like I had to pass it on, like I had to make it available to other people. And so I hope that if anybody who's listening is in the area, that you'll come. Also, I hope that you'll check out the opportunities to play these games, that they're easy to talk about, but really I think you need to experience them firsthand. I think you have to participate in the culture live, right there, where it's happening, and then you get it. Now, I don't know that all the folks involved in story games and in that in indie role-playing game subculture are as awesome and cool as the people at Go Play Northwest. So you'll have to find that out for yourself, but it wouldn't surprise me if there was an awful lot of cool folks out there, because the culture just seems so vital and lively. In the show notes for this episode, I'll post some links to some places you can go to look to see what's going on in your area if you want to get involved. There's also the whole world of theater games that kind of connect to this and also round out the story jamming angle. I've mentioned before my friend Lisa Wells. Actually, we did a podcast interview, and she has a lot to say about the value of that, but I don't see that as a necessity for playing these games. From first my experience, you can play these games without knowing anything about theater games. As long as you're immersed in the culture, it'll just get into your body. So that's it for story jamming, at least for now. It's kind of hard for me to talk about this because it's actually such a big subject. And I can touch on the broad points, but I don't know actually how many things to illuminate about it or what folks will be most curious about it. And certainly there's a wealth of resources online if you're into poking around on the internet to learn more about it. So thanks for listening. This has been episode 9 of the College of Mythic Cartography podcast, recorded on June 27th, 2008.